Hey, detailers, have you heard about HyperClean? It's an ultra-concentrated line of cleaners. What does that mean? It means since it's not pre-mixed with water, this saves you, the detailer, in shipping costs and allows you to mix it in a 5-gallon cube at only $5 a gallon. If you're looking to bring costs down and profits up, go download the Detail Supply app. We have an exclusive coupon code for our listeners. Use DETAIL15 at checkout and save 15% on all HyperClean products. That's DETAIL15 on the Detail Supply app for 15% off all HyperClean products or at www.hypercleansaves.com.
Hey, y'all, it's Noxie. Thanks for listening to the Detailed Solutions podcast. And now, a little bit more about one of our sponsors. Alex, have you heard about the paint assassins on Facebook?
No, Noxie, what's that?
I'm glad you asked, you wrinkled little booby. Paint assassins was started by a dude named Jason Bruno to where detailers can find the camaraderie that they're looking for without any of the negative trolling bullshit like other Facebook groups. Not only that, but they can compete with their work weekly, monthly, or yearly to win prizes. Oh, dude, and they make sick merchandise, so you always have fresh gear to wear.
Whoa.
Anyway, y'all want to check it out? Again, it's Paint Assassins on Facebook or Instagram. Check it out.
Welcome to the Detail Solutions podcast. My name is Alex, and this week my guest is none other than Brian Guy. Brian, first things first, man, let everybody know who you are, where you're from, and what do you do?
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate you having me on here.
Yeah, man.
My name is Brian Guy. I'm in Central Florida, about, 45 minutes from you?
Yeah.
It's always far, right?
Yeah.
and I am the general manager for SwissVecs USA and owner/previous owner/ part-time auto detailer with my own company, AO Wheels.
Nice. So for everybody that doesn't know you, Let's do the how, the where, the when did you get into detailing? Because you're kind of old school guy. I mean, you've been in it for a while.
Oh yeah. No, I have to think back. geez. It started, I want to say, like early 2000, like as far as the company was concerned. Prior to that, like I actually grew up in Maryland and I was grew up also next to a lot of boats. So like we were on the Chesapeake a lot. So I found myself actually detailing at a very early age, boats and cars, you know, and I actually had my first car. I had my first car at the age of 14. It actually just sat there in the driveway until I was old enough, but I basically started there. So, in the realm of detailing, it really started really, really young, you know, but as far as it turning into a business and making it something, didn't really start until about early 2000s. And I'm talking, she's maybe like 04, 03, right, somewhere around there.
So when you did that, you know, because everybody I talk to is kind of been all over the place. So, I mean, are you like one of the guys like myself that started at the car wash and got into it, or got into it just for the passion and the love of cleaning cars? Or like, what was like when you turned it into a business, like what was the light switch, or, you know?
Well, me and my brother, we were separated for a couple of years, like prior uh-huh. to me winding up in Central Florida. And then, you know, with him, he had enrolled into MMI, the Motorcycle Mechanic Institute, mm-hmm. here in Orlando.
Yep.
And actually where I was living at the time, I was living in Fort Lauderdale, and I was actually a cook at a restaurant, but a hurricane came through and kind of put us out of business for a couple of months. So I was like, you know what, this is my opportunity to get out of Fort Lauderdale. I didn't like it anymore down there. And, I was like, I'm going to go up to Orlando and, you know, see, you know, get to enjoy the time with my younger brother. He's 2 years younger than me. And then to help see him through school, you know what I mean? Right. So we got the idea because he was going to school and there was no decent jobs at MMI that really cooperated with the school schedule. So we decided to just start cleaning cars. Okay. Prior to that, he was recruiting people from school, bringing their motorcycles home, you know, who had like scraped fairings and, you know, little road rashes here and there.
Right.
And because at the time too, you know, like, geez, what was that show? Like American Chopper and like, you know, all of those television programs were like really big back then too. So, you know, at the time I actually wanted to be an airbrush artist, you know, and I spent, you know, a little bit of time trying to dive into paint and things like that. It was like, that was very short lived, you know, it probably lasted for about a year. And then we decided that, you know, it basically comes down to auto detailing. Auto detailing's quick, you know, we can basically get paid, right. you know, the same time, the same day. You know, so we ended up actually, you know, buying a raggedy van and some, you know, crappy products, and it just happened. But the best part was we landed a contract, and that contract basically helped us put our foot in the door. Like that allowed us to have, you know, access to some work every day.
Right.
And for me, that was extremely motivating. You know, at the time, I didn't understand it. You know, I was just like, wow, this is great, you know. But the people who we were serving, they started to recognize that we were there every day, and they started to kind of take notice to, you know, some characteristic traits. So like the people at this commercial facility wanted to start supporting us. And that's when the mutual trade-off of, you know, like the value ship, I guess, you know, like the customers began to value us and we became to value them, you know?
Right.
And so with that being said, because it was just a car wash business, you know, it was a mobile car wash business. And, but learned a lot about customers because the volume of customers at that time, you know, I was meeting and discussing things and pet peeves and, you know, people's likes and dislikes with their cars and,
right.
you know, things like that on a regular basis with lots of people. And like that really helped me early on in my auto detailing career.
Right. So when you guys first started, you were just more of just a car washer and not necessarily doing the detailing. And then,
oh yeah, well, we thought we were detailing, right. you know, but you know, like through the educational process, you know, of right. you know, teaching yourself to like, oh, that was a bad idea. Yeah. you know, it's so yes, it was a car wash, but and it was a car wash for actually about 7 years.
Oh, wow.
You know, for about 7 years, we ended up running that. The first year, 2 years was shaky. But then after that, dude, it was awesome. It was like, you know, like by the time I was done, I had 8 guys working for me full time. I had everybody in, everybody was in uniform. Nice. It was all very professional. I had three trucks. I had a oh. golf cart to commute people to their, you know, to the front door of their offices.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it was what it turned into was a really awesome setup, oh, you know, nice. And, But myself, you know, I got stuck on the educational side of auto detailing, where I wanted to learn, you know, where we kept making these mistakes.
Right.
You know, because, you know, when I was washing cars, I would a lot of the time see the same car every week or every other week. So I was able to see the work that I was doing, you know, and saying, oh, geez, you know, like this could be better, or this could be, you know, or wow, I really messed that up, you know. Or like things like that. And like, I was able to kind of, you know, teach myself what I wanted to improve with auto detailing. And that basically led up to understanding that the type of business that I had, it didn't match with what I wanted to continue to learn.
Right.
You know,
and you were doing that pretty much at a time where there wasn't as much information or teaching as there is now.
Oh, no.
You probably had to figure all that out on your own.
Like, there was no Facebook at the time.
Right.
There was, you know, like the only place to get information, there was a newspaper at the time with the Detailer's Digest. There was forums. There was, you know, there was a couple things that were available. But when it came down to, like, you know, products and tools and like basically like to paint correct a car back then, dude, you had to really understand what you were doing with a rotary machine,
right?
Or you weren't paint correcting anything,
right?
You know, you know, so like, so, but that information was really hard to try to get. So basically what I was doing, you know, towards the end of those car wash days was, you know, while I was at home, I would stuff a car into the garage and I would just practice. I just, you know, was constantly spinning the rotary, you know,
right,
between compounding and finishing, you know, that once I reached a point where I felt comfortable that I wasn't going to like swirl somebody's car up, you know, then that's when I started, you know, looking into the high end detailing more actively.
Right. So going into kind of like that learning phase and things like that, I mean, you know, one of the things I know you've told me is you were writing articles for Detailed Image on a lot of this stuff. So how did you get into that? And is it something that you're still doing?
Oh, that's a good question, dude. Yes, I would like to do that, but like, it's really hard nowadays because there's a lot of topics that have already been spoken about and people don't necessarily read a whole lot anymore, where right, there's more, you know, like digital video content and, you know, so like, but the hardest part is like, you know, well, what do you write about, you know?
Yeah.
You know, product reviews only go so far and then you sound like a product whore. But so yes, I'm still an author on there. Yes, I would love to like think of some things to write, but the I guess that they found me because I was at the time I was one of few guys who was utilizing what would be called a blog on their website, you know, right, where I was you know, recording and basically doing write-ups on my own website, you know, very early on. And I guess, you know, at the time, like, you know, Detailed Image and, you know, because like I said, you know, as time has grown with social media, when you wanted to find information, we would seek out forums or we would seek out written articles, you
right,
know? And that's where, at least at the time that I was doing it, it was very beneficial to me. You know, it was very beneficial because the customers saw that there was somebody out there who was, you know, trying, you know, like they looked at me and said, hey, you know, this guy's trying to explain the job that he's doing, you yeah, know, where there was very minimal people doing that. So that led me to be able to stay ahead at the time with like a lot of the high end detailing, you know, and I was bouncing all over the state. Nowadays, you can call somebody, there's somebody 20 minutes away who can do the same thing, you
right,
know, so. But back then, like the customers themselves, even through a search, you know, with if they're looking for somebody to do a particular kind of job, which I didn't understand, like in my years prior, you know, with car washing, I was like, dude, like I wash cars really well. Where are all right, the high end cars at, you know? And now I understand that, like, you know, like that there was ownerships out there that, you know, were seeking somebody more trustworthy.
Right.
You know, yeah. And that's where I saw that there was another step or another level to it. And, you know, but having the blog on the website really helped. And I'm pretty sure the detailed image took notice to that and said, hey, you gotcha. Know, since you're already doing this, you know, would you like to write for us? And then that, and then, you know, like, at, yeah, it definitely detailed image. And you know, I just made an order like 2 weeks ago, you know, like they're, I love detailed image. They're all great, you know?
Right. No, yeah. That's cool. So, you know, talking about the high end market, what do you think it was that finally like pushed you over that edge to where you were getting that car clientele that you were looking for? Maybe, you know, not just the, you know, the car wash guys, but you were getting, and not necessarily talk, you know, because this is the thing I always, you know, explain to my clients when I say high end and they're like, oh, well, I just have like a, you know, Honda Accord or something. And I have to explain to them, like, I don't mean high end in the sense of cars, but high end yeah. in the sense of the detail work that's being done. So, you know, were you talking about that higher end level of detailing or the higher end cars? And how did you finally break that to be able to like start getting those clients, whether it was the clients that were, you know, okay with the higher end detailing or the higher end cars?
Oh, for sure. Well, like then it was like, man, I was, you know, like with the like write off utilizing forums like, you know, Team Speed, Luxury Foreplay, Detailers Domain had the detailing Bliss. You know, there was some really good forums out there and they were extremely active, you know. So basically a lot of jobs, you know, and I'm sure that a lot of guys who have more time under their belt than myself as well would definitely say that forums was how we got our customers.
Right.
You know, when it came down to like the high end cars, you know, because when, you know, like say like Luxury Foreplay worked for me a lot, you know, the woman who ran that, and Amy, she was really amazing at it. And I took notice to how well she marketed her vendors. And for me, I was like, wow, you know, she does an amazing job marketing for their vendors.
Right.
You know, so there was a good trade-off with Luxury Foreplay for myself. So Luxury Foreplay kind of got me in the door mostly with like the high end stuff,
right.
You know, like that was the forum that I was on actively a lot.
Now, how would you think that somebody today could try to get into, you know, kind of that same thing, because there's not really the forums aren't really as around as much anymore now, you know, I mean, it's like Facebook.
Yeah.
And then it's Facebook groups, right? Like you got the Corvette guys, you got the Camaro guys or whatever, but you know, as a detailer, you try to get in and then you try to show off your work and you try to like gain some business from that. It's not an easy thing to do. Right.
No.
Like, do you think it's harder now because of that? Or is there a way to try to still manage gaining with, you know, with a Facebook group that you did on a forum kind of deal?
Yeah, I think that you would have a lot of, it would be really hard to do so on a forum. I wouldn't even attempt or try,
right.
You know, if I noticed that the group was putting together like a little car meet here in Central Florida or something, I would take notice to that and then try to attend.
Right.
You know, but, you know, as far as trying to sell myself that way, no. Now, dude, like, I still believe that, you know, like doing a write-up, like I've actually thought about this here recently, you know, where I would be willing to donate or offer free something, you know, just to see like a good write-up competition, like how it was back in the day, because like, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I've been thinking about it here recently. I'm actually, you know, I'm building some leather stuff, you know, right. Nice. Here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was thinking, I was like, man, I'm going to give this thing away to, to whoever can produce like the best write-up, you know.
Right. Oh, that's a cool idea.
Because that's like write-ups are amazing, you know what I mean? And like people really do enjoy them, we just don't see them,
right?
You know what I mean? Like we go straight to a before and after picture, and like, well, the jobs are pretty obvious nowadays, and they don't need to be sold to the customers either,
right?
You know, customers are pretty aware more so these days of what, you know, these services entail. So
yeah, most
that,
of them
that being said, yeah,
yeah, I mean, most of them have had a friend, you know, that's like, you know, had it done, and they're like, oh, you got to get, you know,
yeah,
pen correction and coding or whatever, and you know,
so yeah, you got to call my buddy.
Yeah, 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 you know. So I mean, it's I get what you're saying, because you know, one of the things my website guy keeps telling me, he's like, dude, just, you know, write a blog. It'll help with your
yes,
you know, searching, yes, and everything like that. But, you know, again, I think about like what you just said, like, you know, most people kind of already know, or they have an, you know, clientele, they already have an idea. They're not searching
websites
to read a blog. Right. So sometimes I'm kind of like, you know, like, do I want to put the time into it? And honestly, for me, it's just laziness. I mean,
there's a lot that goes into it, you know. Like, I understood also too that, you know, like, you know, as I was going down the avenue of doing write-ups, uh-huh, dude, I also understood that like I couldn't just use a crappy camera anymore,
right?
You know, I had to go buy a legit DSLR, and like, you know, and then you're spending time with, you know, taking photos, and then you're taking time with resizing photos and,
right,
and putting watermarks on photos. It's all very time consuming. So the effort is, you know, like the effort, you know, should definitely not be overlooked, you know, but like you said, you know, it's like, it's really hard nowadays, you know, but I think that if, you know, if somebody found a sense of enjoyment into it, like, you know, like, There's some guys I can think of that would probably enjoy doing a write-up. It just have to be inspired enough to do so.
Right.
You know,
right.
You know, so, but, and it could take like, you know, the certain car or tool or product or, you know, whatever really does it, but it's like nowadays, like I'm kind of unsure what it is that we're selling, you know what I mean? Like, this is where, you know, I just think that, you know, as I've spoken to so many people, and, you know, I was like, I'm always big on the relationships,
right?
You know, like, just hold a, you know, if you have a decent relationship with your client, and, you know, always just stick with that, you know?
Yeah. And that's usually what it comes down to, right? Because I mean, we all have those clients that are, you know, I call them one and dones, right? Like, they know they're supposed to get a ceramic coating on their car. They come and get it, and that's it. You never see them again.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you have those other ones that, you know, like you said, you build trust, you build a relationship with, and they don't become one and dones, right? Like, they have you come back and at least do maintenance on it, or, you know, and
yeah,
now they're, you know, hey, I got the wife a new car, or now the kid can drive. I got the kid a used, you know, beater, but I want it somewhat fixed up. It doesn't have to be full on ceramic, but let's make it nice. And, you know, and then that's the guy or the lady that, you know, you gotta talk to my friend. You know, I know a guy, you know, this or that. So,
yeah. I enjoy the conversations with it.
Right.
As fun to do somebody, I was just introduced to somebody about 4 or 5 days ago, you know, from a friend, you know, like, who knows my work. Uh-huh. And like, you know, and like, I like looked at the guy, he like just bought his first kind of, you know, his nice car,
right?
But it, you know, and I was like, I don't know, man. I just asked him a couple questions, and he knew that I was digging, you know what I mean?
Right. So, right. Yeah.
But I basically found out from asking him two questions that he's not my customer. You know what, gotcha, I mean? And like, and I was just, you know, I basically told him right then and there by asking him two questions. I'm not interested in doing your car. No, thank you.
Right. Right.
You know, because I, you know, like, there's also like, and I don't have time to educate my customers to the most part, you know, like they, you know, they either know that I'm going to do a decent job or, you know, then, yeah, I don't want to play that game anymore. You know, I have a handful and I stick with my handful.
Right. And you're at that level where you don't need to jump through hoops to gain a job anymore, you know, kind of deal or really sell yourself to, I mean, it's.
Well, dude, yes and no, you know, because like, because of, I spend most of my, you know, days with like, you know, with the Swiss facts and,
right.
and with other things. So like, I'm not necessarily full-time auto detailing, but okay. So if I had a shop, if I had, you know, if I had the, you know, detail and outfit, and this was, you know, 100% of my agenda, right. I guarantee you it would be difficult for me to compete in today's marketplace. Whether or not I have experience or not is irrelevant, you right. know, like the competition to compete in today's marketplace, like, man, like, what do you have to do to, like, you know, keep it going, you know, but it's hard, you know, like, I mean, cause this is where we have like all the Google, you know, paid ads and
yeah.
you know, all the, you know, so like, what do you have to do in order to keep it going? And then like the, you know, like a lot of younger guys, man, they're really good with like these apps and their phones. Like, dude, they yeah. can whip together like an amazing video, you know, in like 20 seconds, it might take me a whole day to work on.
Right. You know? Exactly. Well, speaking of like the Google stuff and the AdWords, you know, you had mentioned to me before, you know, when you were, you know, doing it, you hardly did any, you know, paid advertising. Everything you did because you had that understanding or that knowledge of SEOs and AdWords and things like
right.
that you were able to, like, you know, just posting a picture somewhere, being able to tag it with the right wording and everything to be able to draw people to you. I mean, do you still feel like that's something that still works today or is
absolutely, it? Absolutely. Like, a photo is everything. You know what I mean? Like, I right. like I know what it takes. Like, if I wanted to throw myself out there, you know, I'm sure I could do it and do it. You have to understand that it also comes with a big bag of fluff too. You know what I mean? So like, but customers appreciate that, you know, like, and I think that, you know, customers also appreciate to see you when you're, you know, highly driven, you know, like people recognize people when they're on top of the world, you know, and when they're working hard.
Exactly.
You know, so like if you're just working hard in general and people can see that, if you take like, you know, like, geez, Jennifer right now, or, you know, like there's just people who all the time are like moving,
right.
you know what I mean? And like keeping it busy. And because of that, you know, there's an equal trade in, you know, the value, but there, you know, like I always tell people, you know, like if you have that wave and if you're on it, man, you better ride it for as long as you can.
Exactly.
You know? So, but, you know, and like, but I think that because we do have social media, we have the ability to turn that wave on and off whenever we choose to, you know what right. I mean?
If you're pushing a little bit more for stuff to be out there
yes.
or dialing yes. it back to where people aren't seeing it kind of thing.
Yeah. Bingo.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you needed to throw yourself out there, you can, you know, like you can definitely do it if they're keeping you busy.
Right.
You know,
exactly. And I think what you said is kind of right. I mean, you know, we're, you know, people are going to appreciate you, you know, seeing things and stuff like that. I mean, I had a guy this week who called me up and drove like 45 minutes to come to my shop because he has a brand new Supra that he had the front end PPF'd, and for some reason was searching PPF, and I came up, I guess my AdWords guy threw PPF in there, finally for me. And he wanted me to look at the job that was done, and, you know, and I'm like, dude, this is a pretty good job. Like, you know, I'm still green at it. Like, I, you know, cause he was like, how much would you have charged? And I said, honestly, I probably wouldn't have taken the job because I don't have enough experience yet. You know, but we got to talking, and the one thing that he said that he wanted to come and meet me and see me was, was because he liked the way my website was done up. He liked the pictures and the, the stuff like
people,
that.
So, people love that appeal. You know? Right. So but the hardest thing is like I said, we have to learn how to detail a car
right
first. And then afterwards we have to teach ourselves photography and this and that. And like myself, dude, like for all the articles that I've written just in general over time, I was terrible at school. You know what I mean? So like I had to learn certain grammar mistakes, with like the write-in, which I mean, I do enjoy the write-in. It's just, you have to be inspired, you know?
Right. Right. Well, maybe that's your next article, how to do the right pictures and the right angles and, on an iPhone versus a DSLR or something.
I've been working on this car here for last couple of days, every couple of photos I have in, they're all in my phone, And it's just so that I can like show right. my buddy, be like, oh yeah, check this out. Right. But dude, it's like, I'm whipping my phone out and I'm like, dude, these photos are terrible. Like, there's no way I could sell this photo.
Right. Right. Well, I don't know. I mean, phones are getting pretty good. I mean, the kid who does, videography type stuff. It's funny because every now and then when he comes over to shoot, he puts his big super expensive camera down and he pulls out his iPhone and I'm like, and he's like, honestly, he's like, you won't be able to tell the difference. And enough, like when he cuts everything together, like you can't tell the quality. I mean, they're getting better. I know they're,
I think myself, I'm having a hard time with the patience of it. Cause like today I tried to grab a couple photos of like, I had, one door was corrected and one door was not. Then I just wanted to grab a simple photo, right?
Yeah.
Like the before and after contrast. Oh dude, like I ended up like, I'm sitting there tapping my phone and I'm trying to get I basically got to a breaking point where I was like, I'm wasting my time.
Right. Right. Exactly. The one thing I put my phone down
and pick the polisher back up. And
The one thing I don't like about phones or the cameras on the phone sometimes is they can't pick up what you see with the eye. And then you try to like take a picture of it or get it on video and it won't pick it up. It doesn't see it the way your eye sees it. And I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah, no, I think that's where I'm struggling with. And like, it's funny. I told my wife today, I was like, babe, I need to take the camera, I think,
Yeah.
But then I'm asking myself what am I going to do with the photos? Like, I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Cause you've already got your clientele. It's not like you're out there.
No, I don't. Yeah. I mean, new ones. That's where I'm like, I'm trying to think that, do it for old time's sake. And that's where I said, I think that, it's I do have this thing inside of me because I am, been around long enough to like really respect those forums and write-ups and the things that like guys like, Todd Helm and Richie Carbone and Bob Willis and, Phil at Detailer's Domain. He's a, Phil is a dinosaur himself. Uh-huh. The write-ups that we would write, man, it was so much fun. It was actually fun to be able to write and say, we saw these defects. And so I have that thing inside of me, but for me, I would like to see it from like today's audience a lot more
And that's the thing, like those write-ups, man. I mean, you guys are pretty like detailed with them. It's not just like, I took some of this and slapped it on there and polished out and bada bing, bada boom, a couple of paragraphs. I mean, I've read some of Todd's work and I mean, it's like, it's like super detailed and I'm like, man, I would love to be able to write like that, but honestly.
Dude, it's because of things like that that Todd's where he's at. You know? Right. It's because of things like that that I'm with Swissvax.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I sit there and look at the blinking cursor and I'm like, well, I put some compound on a pad and polish out. How am I going to like, you know, like, well, what am I? Yeah. So, car show judging. I know we've talked about that before. How did you get into that? And what type of cool car shows have you been a judge at?
Oh, geez, man. I have my friend Eddie Fusa to thanks for that. To be honest with you, Eddie is an amazing auto detailer with worlds of experience with some really amazing cars, and. I love Eddie. I speak to Eddie probably most out of anybody. Eddie was the one who helped me get involved into the judging. You know, I went down there to help with some events that he had lined up, you know, like there's a lot of stuff that he does that just does not get said online.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like, if like, geez, Louise, you know, but because of that, you know what I mean? Like just how, you know, for who he is and how we've been introduced to people, again, it goes back to the relationships, you know, right. And like the relationships that I was able to gain through Eddie, you know, God bless him. You know, I've been asked to attend and to be able to be it would be kind of considered a guest judge, you know, because like the judges, man, like these guys are like historians with these cars, a lot of them.
Right.
You know, and then so I can tell you what looks right and what doesn't look right, but I can't, you know what I mean? Like I can't break it down to, you know, who built the car and
right.
You know, like certain things, you know,
what the temperature was like when the brakes were manufactured.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, I've done, you know, like the next one I have is actually the one that's coming up here in April. So, you know, hopefully you can come out to that one. That's the one in Celebration.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the Festivals of Speed.
Yeah. Yeah. Correct. Yeah, correct.
Hopefully I can make it. What's kept me from there the past couple of years is it always seems to fall on a weekend that Haley has a cheer competition.
it's always so crowded over there.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, like the parking situation has always, you know, has kept me away from it in years past, you know. I'm like,
you gotta get there like super early, you know.
Yeah, bingo.
Yeah,
but you know, like to be able to be involved with that is very, very cool, you know. Because like the guys who are judging these cars, they're not like auto detailers. They're the, you know what I mean? Like they're the guy who owns the Ferrari. They're the guy who owns the Porsche or the, you know what I mean? Like, you know, so like myself, like I'm in there as like a non-owner kind of, you know what I mean? Where like a lot of the guys who I get to like do these things with, you know, it would be like a customer to me.
Right.
You know, so... But with that being said, you know, like to have and can matter, you know, to them, then I think that that's great, you know.
Yeah. Let's flip it. Have you ever done anything that, you know, been in a crazy competition or, you know, judge car show kind of thing to, you know, any of these huge awards?
Like probably the best one I've done for like is a Cavallino. Like I grabbed a buddy of mine who I'm still, you know, I'm still very active with.
Uh-huh.
And he still has the car. He's got a Ferrari 348. That was the first major event thing that I've ever like accomplished. Where his 348 took a platinum award at Cavallino.
Nice.
So I was very proud for that. You know, I've seen cars that I've done through a lot of different things, like, you know, audio shows and,
right.
You know, like low rider shows and,
yeah.
Some of my favorites are like the hot rods, like anything that's in like the NHRAs or the just the hot, like the Hot Rod Association group. That is extremely like that, like say Good Guys shows. Like Good Guys shows are good. I've taken some awards from there. I don't think ever a first place, because that's really, you know, it has a lot to do with the car, not so much the detailing. But to be involved into those aspects with like Good Guys or you know the Cavallinos or these Porsche parade things and I don't know how many
you know I only ask because you're kind of you know from that generation of detailing where you know, you, to me, you guys, like, you know, you, the Todd Helms, the, you know, the guys that have kind of, you know, for lack of a better word, the dinosaurs in this industry.
Yeah, of course.
You're from that, like that era, that generation of detailing that have done that style, right? Like, so like you go on Facebook now and there's not a lot of people that are like, oh, you know, I'm a blah, blah, blah award winner detailer or blah, blah, blah.
That's,
you know,
because like, nobody focuses in that direction though.
Right. You know, because again, you know, I mean, everybody's kind of like a little bit of churn and burn in a sense. I mean, even though we might be taking 2 or 3 or 4 days to do a correction and coding, it's still
It's a platinum car.
Right. I mean, it's still a churn and burn considered to what the time you would spend on it to be, you know, a Pebble Beach winner or a concourse winner or, you know, whatever. I mean, you're talking, you know, hours on those.
Yeah. Well, to that point, like, you know, like the best way to go into those directions, like if that was something that, you know, somebody did want to achieve, it has to start with the write-ups in a way,
right?
You know, like going back to that topic, like you have to be able to prove, you know what I mean, that you've done a job and you've done it well.
Yeah.
So if we post to Facebook, because we've come so accustomed to Facebook and Instagram, where if we post something, dude, it doesn't matter what you can post a $8 million car and it has about 3 or 4 days of like lifetime and then it's dead.
Yeah.
You know, it's only searchable through what ifs at this point.
Right.
You
know? Exactly.
So like versus having something that's substantial, that's online with the SEO factor this way, when somebody in, you know, like if somebody in Central Florida was Googling, you know, Ferrari 348 Cavallino Classic Platinum Award winning auto detail, you know, like, hey, bingo, dude, you just hit on all those keywords, you know? But having that information out there, it definitely helps the customer understand the service provider better, you know, and then the direction that the service provider wants to go. Like I started realizing, like, it was probably like in like 2014, about 2014, I was realizing that what I was doing with my marketing stuff is it was all, you know, brand new cars. This is all like pushing new car prep, basically. You know what I mean? Like, so you get a brand new car, you bring it in, you give it a what we call, you know, like a cream puff paint correction and coat it. You know what I mean? I found myself getting into the habit of doing those cars, but then when I finally looked at what I was doing, you know, I was like, dude, like I keep pushing this, you know what I mean? So like the more that I keep pushing this, I'm gonna in return get what I'm given, you know? So, you know, like, but if I wanted to kind of focus onto a certain audience, you know, like say if I wanted to dedicate myself to hot rods, you know, I would make sure that everything that I'm putting online is associated to my, you know, passion and love for a hot rod.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to be able to let the customer know like who we are. And I think that that's where, you know, we can easily get in trouble with ourselves with detailing because, you know, we get a BMW, we get an Audi, we get a Mercedes, you know what I mean? People don't look at those cars You know what I mean? Like the way that a granted, you know, but like somebody who isn't actually searching for somebody to, you know, allow them to touch their car, you know, because right. somebody out there has a car that they don't want anybody to touch.
Exactly. You know?
And until, you know, you know, somebody online can prove to them that like, you're the person for their job, then yeah. So it's really hard. You know, I think that that's where like those things are still beneficial, even still to today.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it could be beneficial, but you know, then if you did it, you know, like, you know, you can't look at the numbers right off the bat. Like, you know, if you share an article to Facebook and you're like, oh, okay, like the numbers aren't there, so like, why am I going to keep doing this? You have to understand that with SEOs or with any type of online traffic, that it takes time for it to accumulate and it's got to build up.
Yeah,
you know, so and the best way to keep it consistent is to be very consistent with it, you know. So like, you know, even so if you have a car in that's not a hot rod, you know, but you see an example in the car, like say like a crusty battery terminal,
right?
You know, you can do a little article on cleaning a battery terminal, you know what I mean? Just something, you know what I mean? And then try to associate it through your marketing with you know, where it just, you know, falls into place as being something important, you know. So
right, even though it might be on a hot rod, you can, you know,
yeah,
push it across the board is,
you yeah know, bingo. I mean, so like there is ways to kind of like, you know, set a direction for yourself,
right?
It's like, you know, like I brought up my friend Eddie, you know, like Eddie's been involved with these like basically late model Ferraris for so many years,
right?
That like, dude, yeah, he's turned into an encyclopedia and has a Rolodex of people with 80 models Ferraris, you know. That was the result of, you know, staying active with an audience.
Right,
you know?
right. Building that niche market kind of deal.
Yeah, bingo, yeah. Bingo.
Gotcha.
So, but that's and done, because again, the effort and the time that it takes to achieve all of that is you know, it's difficult.
Yeah, well, I know, I remember when I first met you, I don't know if you remember, but I mentioned, you know, on my bucket list is to do a show car quality detail just to prove that I can do it. And I remember you told me like, no, just don't.
Don't do it.
It's not worth it. Like, just know that you could do it if you wanted to do it. Just good enough.
I do. My attitudes are like, yeah, like who am I today? But no, I can completely respect that still though, because, you know, like I said, if you're after an achievement, go. But when it comes down to like doing the simple thing to like, yeah, you know, bring in a couple bucks or to like just, you know, because at the end of the day, you're a parent yourself, you know. Yeah. So like I don't have to sell these people at home, I just have to go out and do a job,
right?
You know.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, so when that sets, you know, like when that sets in that, okay, listen, you know, I'm, you know, like then that is what's more important. As long as things are staying busy for somebody, then that's just a wonderful thing, you know. I remember early on, years and years ago, I would get the question, you know, because back, like, you know, like I said, if we rewind the clock back way back that far before some of these social things, people would ask you, dude, how did you get that car?
Yeah.
You know, and you say, oh man, I did like 30 write-ups on this forum, you know, before I got a phone call, or
right.
You know, you know, but there's, at the end of the day, as long as we have a car in front of us, then we should effectively be making money.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. So, and that's what I say, yeah, right? Like, Like, I mean, I've gotten to the point now. I mean, obviously when I started, like, you know, I was like, I was bummed. Like, when am I going to get a Ferrari? When am I going to do a Lamborghini? When am I going to When am I going to do that? But ultimately at the end of the day, right? Like those clientele, you know, they're not really spending the money on those types of cars for the most part, because they're just going to flip them in like a year or two. Right. So they don't, a lot of times they don't see the value on spending $1,200, $1,500, whatever, to get it detailed and coated or waxed or whatever, you know. But the guy with the Mustang or the guy with the BMW or the guy with the Audi, they do. Right. So like, I would rather have those every day of the week than, you know,
Dude, I'm like completely car. Like I'm actually completely backwards with my customers, you know, and like the, some of the guys who are close to me, you know, they're like, hey Brian, what do you think about PPF film? Yeah. I'm like, dude, if you want to spend $1,000 or whatever, go for it. You know what I mean? I was like, at the end of the day, you're still gonna, like, when you sell the car, it is what it is. So like, dude, if you want to throw $1,000 out the window, throw it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
because you're not going to get a $10,000 depreciation because you have three rock chips.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know? So my guys ask me about wheel scuffs and I'm like, don't worry about it, because when you trade it in, some guy in the back's going to cover that up and they're going to sell the car for, exactly. You know what I mean? So like, but at the end of it, so like, but we, yes, we can keep the cars looking good and healthy and, you know, in very nice conditions and things like that.
Right.
But that's definitely dependent on the customers. You know what I mean? But like, I will try to educate some of my customers for me, because I just know their habits with their cars, where I try to save them money. You know, right. I don't want them to go into a purchase and then to think that, you know, like this car is going to just end up costing them a fortune, you know?
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, I drove down to Fort Lauderdale to scope out a Ferrari for a friend of mine. And then the very next day, I actually drove to Tampa to go look at a Porsche for the same individual. Basically, like, we had a $240,000 car versus about a $60,000-$80,000 car.
Right.
You know what I mean? He could have got either one. You know, now granted, this is like dipping into the realm of, you know, this person's next step in life.
Right.
So, you know, and I had to tell him from my own experience, I said, listen, dude, if you buy the Ferrari, you have to understand that that Ferrari will come with additional price tags, you know, and it's like the small print that you don't see.
Yeah.
You know, so I said, you know, like, you have to be aware of that before you make that purchase, you know. Versus the other car, I said, if you get the other car, it's a great car. You know, it looks amazing. You can drive it anywhere. It's still awesome. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, you could take that thing out, you know, rain or shine, you know, drive it, turn it in. You know what I mean? Basically have a good time with the car without it becoming a headache. You know, so
right. You could definitely put more miles on a Porsche and still get good money out of it versus Ferraris. I mean, the Ferraris, and it's kind of I mean, I don't know if it's an unspoken thing or whatever, but I mean, Ferraris are like, you know, 10,000 miles and then, you know, nobody wants it anymore.
Well, there's not a lot of miles on a lot of Ferraris.
Right. Exactly. So that's what keeps the price.
So it's like. It's like, I have to, you know, I had to ask my buddy, I said, listen, you know, do you want a car that, you know, makes you feel good when you come home from work and you get to go out to your garage and see like your shining achievement just sitting there?
Yeah.
Or do you want to get into your shining achievement and drive it?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So like, that's where, you know, like, cause I have a handful of people that I help car coach with all of their buy-in purchases, you know, but it really comes down to like what it is that they're going to use the car for and how long they intend on having it and things like that. But me, like I said, I rub the grain with it and I tell them, like, dude, you don't need the PPF. Like, you're going to put 3,000 miles on that car. If you put three rock chips in it, nobody cares.
Right. Yeah, I mean, PPF is, you know, that's more, again, like, you know, the Mustang guy, the Audi guy, the BMW guy that's driving it every day.
And it
is a big investment for them, you know, as a daily driver, and they want to preserve it as much as possible. But the Ferrari guy, the Ferrari guy, the Lamborghini guy, that's going to put, you know, 500-600 miles, 1,000 miles a year on it. Like, come on, man. I mean, they're, let's be honest. I mean, they're not really driving them that much down I-4 for, you know, construction rock chips and everything. I mean, they're, you know, it's like, you know, a couple miles down the street for, you know, whatever, maybe a Cars and Coffee here and there kind of thing. So yeah, I get it. So, I mean, I know I see your little setup there behind you. I won't really spoil the question or whatever, but what type of things do you do outside of detailing?
Oh, geez, man. So I've been leather crafting for probably just over a year now.
You've been making some pretty cool stuff too.
I absolutely love it. You know, it's like I found something else that I've and I love it because I don't know anything about it, you know. Right. So I'm like so humble to it that like I have this big wanting to learn thing going on inside of me. Like, hey, right. I want to learn. So like that excitingness is very cool, you know. I wanted to build a wax coaster for our 200mm jars, you know, like basically like a leather wax coaster. And that's how it started. So like I bought some scrap leather off of this guy online. So I started looking into wet molding, you know, where you can basically form the leather, you know, and do a wet mold if it's a veg tan leather. So like, and I was like, that's perfect. You know, I'll just buy some scraps and then I'll make some like little coasters, you know, and I'll make them to fit. And like, that's kind of how it started. And like, I actually have, I made a couple coasters, but I actually never finished them because like, as soon as I made the couple coasters, I was like, man, some light bulb went off.
Right.
And I was like, wow, you know, like this isn't actually that hard. And I wanted to start trying other things.
I saw you made like a hat.
Where it's kind of led to hats. Right. Like I really, really like making the hats.
Are you just making them for yourself, or you have people that like ask you to make them for you, or nice?
No, I've just kind of been like making stuff and giving it away to family, to be honest with you. Like for like, but because of like, I'm OCD with like, you know, I have the leather here on this side of me and I have a car
right
in front of me. Like, I'm not giving this car back until I'm happy with it. You know what I mean? And I feel the same way about the leather. Like I really want to be happy with it before I kind of sell it. You know what I mean? Like, I want to have like a level of confidence with it, you know, before I try to sell it. I've definitely been teaching myself a lot, you know. I've been spending a lot of time with within some of these leather groups and you know, and things like that, really learning more about the leathers.
Did you go to a training for it, or you just
Not for the leather crafting, but I have to bring up you know, like the guys from Color Lock, because it was about this time last year.
It was MTE. I remember.
Yeah, right after MTE.
Yeah, I remember when you told me.
Yep. And then like the Color Lock training thing happened, and like I went up there with them, and you know, on the repair side of things, you know, like I thought, you know, that okay, cool, you know, like if I can start repairing leather, it's like, you know, like I can kind of break away from like the detailing and start charging somebody, you know, $300-400 to fix their bolsters or something. Yeah. You know, you know, and like this would be a lot easier amount of work, and I wouldn't have to I wouldn't have to spend as much time on the car to make the money, right? So, but then I got to look, you know, I got to looking at these leathers in the cars, and I was like, dude, it doesn't make sense to repair it. Just replace it.
Right. Just unstitch it, put a new piece in.
So I have a hard time wrapping my head around like leather repairs, like even like I've been doing like minor leather repairs for years, right, but that's about to the extent that I want to take it. You know what I mean? You know, like when it comes down to, you know, putting more color on somebody's car or putting more you know, like the polyurethane coating over top of it and,
right,
you know, things like that. Like those things are fun and easy for me, but I don't want to dive into somebody's car where they've just completely neglected it. You know what I mean? And it finally reached a point where it's like, oh geez, you know, all she had to do was do this to like take care of it.
Right. Right. And, exactly.
You know, and like you obviously, so I don't know, but like, I also don't want to, you know, work myself into a position where I have to be climbing in and out of cars every day. Because again, if I started pushing myself really hard into that leather restoration category, as a result, I would have a lot of restoration work ahead of me.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So, but by doing this, it's a way to stay away from the cars.
No, that's cool. That's cool. So I'm going to jump into like a little fun question here for you. So you've met a lot of detailers over the years. Tell me who your least favorite person is and why is it Aaron Knox?
I love Aaron. Oh, dude, I do not have a least favorite person.
No, just
yeah, that's hilarious.
I just had to throw that in there for Aaron.
Aaron, I love you, bro.
Yeah, he doesn't listen to this anyway, so don't. Actually, he'll probably listen to it because it's you.
Yeah, he might. If no, he ain't gonna listen to it all the way through.
Yeah, no, probably not. I would have hung up on him. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So this is the this or that, portion of the interview. So it's, if you've listened to the podcast before, you probably know most of the questions. It's basically just this or that. I mean, if you want to, you know, delve into why, I'm fine with it, but it's mainly just meant to be a this or that.
Let's go for it.
So interiors or exteriors?
Favorite or least favorite?
Favorite.
Favorite?
Yeah.
Exteriors.
Okay. Rupes or Flex?
Oh. I'm upset with Flex right now. I have two semi brand new machines. I don't care. I'm just going to say it, man. I'm so upset about my two semi new machines and both of them are crap. You know, I have to pull them apart and they're going to make me fix my, I could send it in, but I'm too stubborn. I'm going to fix my own machines, but I have two semi new machines and they're both broken basically. Ouch. So anyways, I've been using my older machines. So in Flex, bro, Flex.
Okay. Cleaning windows or washing and folding towels?
Fuck it.
It's like the two worst things detailers hate to do.
Folding towels.
Sun shots or lighted shop shots?
Sun shots.
Okay. Mobile or shop?
Oh, shop.
Okay. Left Twix or right Twix?
Right Twix.
Okay. And this one, I probably shouldn't even...
Go for it, man.
Well, no, this one I already know your answer for, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So wax or ceramic?
Wax.
And then the last and most important question is...
Meanwhile, I am putting Sea Quartz Professional on this car in front of me.
There you go. Okay, so the last and most important question is, are you Team Alex or Team Noxie?
Oh, dude. you guys need to hatch it out, man. I was going to wear my shirt, Alex. I was going to wear I was going to wear my unicorn shirt.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah. Sorry, you don't have to answer.
I'm gonna go with Team Alex because Aaron hasn't called me in a minute.
Nice. He's been busy. Yeah. Although I'll take credit for why he's being busy. he's doing a painting for me.
Oh, dude.
And I asked him if he would do one for me, and he messaged me the other day and said that I'm lucky that I'm his boy. And I said, why? And he said, because what I'm doing for you is so intricate and such a pain in the ass. And so
that's so awesome.
Listen, man, I'm stoked for it to begin with, but I'm even more excited that he's obviously putting some, you know, real thought and everything into
that's
it.
That's so awesome.
It's going to go like right back here. I think I'm going to hang it up back here. So that way, when we do podcasts, I mean, although I don't use the video on the podcast, but anybody who's a guest will be able to see it behind me.
That's what's up, dude. Yeah. That's what's up. Yeah. Dude, Corey has one that Aaron did like so many, like so long ago, you know, and like, man, because I've helped Corey move twice.
Yeah.
But dude, Corey's level of care over that painting is fire. Like, don't touch that photo. Corey will carry that himself. So man, dude, that's like gold. I'm so happy to hear.
I'm excited. I mean, I love his work, you know, and I just asked him, I was like, dude, do you take orders? Do you do for people? And he's like, yeah, you know. So I said, listen, I really want a painting. Like, you know, how much are you going to break my wallet? And I kind of had an idea where he'd probably be, you know, so it really wasn't, you know, too shocking or whatever, I mean, he's going to do, you know, he said he'd do a little bit better for me and, you know, he wanted to, you know, make it badass for me. So I was really appreciative of that, you know,
that's the hard thing. Like, dude, like this hat that I'm building here behind me, for example, like, dude, like there's no way I could sell it. Like, right. I mean, I could, but if it would like, because I don't want to sell it, you know, like I would rather just have it than to sell it.
Yeah.
But like, with the quality of leathers and the things, like I just tell myself, and like the amount of time that things take, I'm like, dude, there's no way that I could sell this for less than X amount of dollars. You know, it's like these are conversations I've had with my wife, you know what I mean? About like some of these leather projects, you know, and it's like, I don't know if it's like, you know, so if it's sustainable, because, you know, like it would be like a starving artist kind of situation. And
right.
Like,
exactly.
You know, like, but it's hard because like, but art in any kind of way from an auto detailer, I think that dude, like, you know, like it's already in an auto detailer's DNA.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like any type of way to express that is just amazing.
No, exactly. And I mean, I think, you know, I've mentioned it before. I know some other people have mentioned it. I mean, in some way, shape or form, we're all artists, you know,
absolutely.
With what we do, whether it's, you know, correcting paint or, you know, doing interior work or things like that. I mean, to be able to, you know, take something and make it something different. I mean, that's pretty much what artists do. I mean, it's, I think it's in us anyway. So it's always nice to see when people are kind of doing something, you know, like more traditional artistic, you know, with like what you're doing or with what Noxie's doing, things like that.
Yeah. No, I'm like, I'm really loving that. Like Noxie is doing that. And like, yeah, I'm really, really loving it. And like I said, like, I like, you know, like in the start of this conversation, I like, you know, in regards to a write-up,
yeah,
dude, I don't really care what the topic is about, you know what I mean? But like a write-up in like any type of a sense to where we could, you know, like be able, because like I do feel like it's an expression, you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
And you know, and it's a much better expression than to, you know, I guess to be able to see something, you know,
right,
that kind of came from thought, you know, and then, but so like, yeah, I don't know, I guess, I don't know, for myself, I would say with like, dude, especially after the year that we've just had with all this, you know, but like, you know, like the year that we've just had, and like, I'm pretty sure that a lot of people have realized that like, you know, a sincere form of expression is a really nice thing to see, you know what right. I mean? Because it's becoming far less common.
Right, right. And everybody's just been in such a funk because of everything that when you, you know, can you actually have a, you know, a nice conversation with somebody, I think it's, you know, both sides, you know, feel more appreciated and, you know, come away with a better attitude kind of.
Yeah.
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 All right, Brian. So to finish up here, if anybody would like to get a hold of you, where are they going to find you? Are you on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, OnlyFans,
so
forums?
Swissvax, I've been in a barrel of hurt, like, you know, with Swissvax. It's been really tough with like how our inventory's been sitting and everything for like months now. So anyways, a lot of that stuff is going to be corrected here soon, and like almost to a non-embarrassing point that I might turn my notifications back on.
Nice.
So, but with that being said, like this year I've got a lot of, you know, like I've got a lot as I've, you know, going into this year with Swissvax, I'm super excited. You know what I mean? So, I'm going to be putting forth a lot of my effort into that. So Swissvax is definitely going to be the place to contact me. Okay.
And where do they do that?
They can do it at brian@swissvax.us. That's my email address.
Okay.
Or just come in, you know, chat with us at the website, you know, those, and like, but that's one of the things that's really exciting. We just launched a brand new website. It's only been up now for about 2-3 weeks, and I love it because it has all of these operating things that has that gives me abilities to start expressing myself, I guess, through it. You know what I mean?
That's cool.
And not just myself, obviously, Swissvax. But we're gonna, you know, like, because of the way that the website is structured, I'm gonna have abilities that I did not have before. You know, so with that being said, I am very excited. That's you awesome. Know,
you know, yeah. We didn't really touch on Swissvax. So, I mean, is there anything that you want to, you know, talk about Swissvax? Anything, is Swissvax got anything new coming down the pipeline, or, you know, anything?
Well, for right now, I'm going to be in recovery mode with Swissvax for like the next couple months, you know. Probably like I foresee like probably 2 or 3 months I'm gonna have to really focus on recovering for time lost, but then as we continue with it, and I'm gonna see where it goes, but definitely like I've already been in communication with the factory about training and things like that, so nice. That's like training is something that I want to start doing a lot more of, you know, and like having it really understand and really understand it, and but be able to have this value through, like I said, you know, like almost like this website to me is a marketing platform,
right?
You know, so because of this platform, it's going to give me the abilities to do extra credit work, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's going to put myself back into the feeling of, you know, if we start doing workshops and if we start doing these things, I have a really, you know, great way of showcasing it, and, you know, and I'll be able to start building on that. But it's still like, you know, for myself, it's, you know, going to kind of be like a long road ahead. Like, I think that by the end of this year, I can probably start dipping into the certified thing a little bit more legitimately.
That's cool.
And again, the only reason that I will entertain certified is because this platform is going to offer ability to be able to support the auto detailer, you know.
Oh, okay.
So I veered away from it in the time past because you know, like the trade-off in from my point of view as an auto detailer is you know, like it has to be a good trade-off, you know, right. And like, I didn't really have a whole lot to offer the auto detailer if I was to certify them, you know? So I'm going to be working very hard on that. You know what I mean? Because like, yeah, I'll be able to help better market for all of us whoever wants to hang out with me.
No, that'd be awesome. I'll definitely be up for something like that when you throw one down here in old CFL.
Yeah. Thank you, brother.
Yeah.
So Swissvax is otherwise,
Yeah. I'm terrible with my Facebook.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how many, messages are in there unanswered. And so like, but I turned my stuff off, you know. I figured if it's an email, it's important, you know, but I've turned a lot of the notifications off, mostly just because I've been making sure that my time, you know what I mean, is being spent the way that I would like it to be spent.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you got, you know, look, between the car that you're sitting on for however long over there, your hat that's taking you however long to build over there, and then the wife and the kids, man.
Four kids. It's mostly four kids. So like,
yeah, you got a lot of time that, you know, is precious to you.
Yeah. I recently started hydroponic gardening. Like, it's absolutely crazy, dude. Here in like another 2 weeks, I'm going to have more produce than I have mouths to feed.
Nice.
You know, but like, yeah, the hydroponic gardening stuff, like, yeah, we've kind of really gotten into that here lately. So that's been cool.
Yeah.
But
a little zen thing for you. You just, you know, maintain your garden.
It doesn't do it like that. Like, my wife would enjoy the green thumb stuff more so.
Gotcha.
So, but you know, it's but I do see it as being very cool though. With some of these systems and with how much, you know, that they can produce is pretty amazing. So
right. So I'm gonna be driving down one of the streets in Central Florida soon and see you out there on a little produce stand. Fresh vegetables
with like a leather hat and a piece of straw.
Yeah, exactly. oh man, that's great.
For sure, man. No.
I don't have anything else. I mean, we're pushing an hour and 20, which I think is a good time. So I appreciate it, Brian. Thank you. I know you'll never admit to this, but to me, you're kind of one of those upper level, higher tier type detailer guys that I definitely look up to. And
dude, thank you. I look up to you, man. Yeah,
it's nice to have you on this little rinky dink podcast that's growing. It's growing, man. We're having fun with it.
I love it, dude. I love what you're doing, man. Like,
thank you.
Like, I need to get onto like some of these vulgar episodes though, you know, and be like who's the real Brian guy? You'd be like, oh my god, that guy is.
I'll tell you what, Jason and I are always looking for people for the what's on your mind, you know, where you get it, the raw and uncut kind of deal. So I'll put you on the list and we'll get you on one of those.
Dude, I'm very proud of what you've been doing, you know.
Thank you, sir.
And like, and I think that, you know, stay with it. And I think it's so awesome what you're doing and the people that you're reaching out to.
Thank you. It's definitely addicting. I mean, that's why we're doing two a week now.
That's so cool.
There's sometimes where I get bored and almost feel like just putting a post out and saying, hey, here's the, you know, the meeting ID number if anybody wants to jump on and just see if somebody jumps on. But then I always feel bad because, you know, I spend about 2 to 4 to 5 hours a week doing podcasting, and that's time that I'm not with the wife and the kids. So 2 weeks, fine.
Don't feel bad about it. You know, like, I know that, like I said, like, we talk about these things, but we also have to understand how important they are too, you know. Like on the last episode, you know, like, and like, I had to re-listen to that, you know, myself, because, you know, and like, I, you know, I kind of tell people to find other hobbies and things like that, but dude, at the end of the day, we are auto detailers. Yep. You know what I mean? And I love egos and I love the passion and I like, you know what I mean? Like people, like, we need that in our lives, you know. Right. like those are the things that, like, you know, really push us and really helped you on the right mindset to keep going headstrong. And like, again, that's where, you know, when that attitude is in place, then, you know, the outside world will recognize it, you know what I mean? Yeah. And if you have the wave, then ride it. And it's because then, like I said, like the opportunities don't come along often, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
You know, but I think it's amazing to everybody out there who like goes above and beyond, who works 10 hours past their bedtime, and you know what I mean? And like I get it, you know what I mean? Yeah. It takes a whole lot, and that should be respected.
Oh no, exactly. All right, I know you got to go. I see somebody trying to peek in there. Again, I appreciate it, Brian. You have a great night, and we'll talk soon, man.
Alex, I appreciate you, man. God bless you.
Thanks, buddy. You have a great night.
You too.
Right, bye. And that, everybody, is why Brian Guy is one of my favorite detailers in the industry. The guy is so just humbled, down to earth, as real as it gets. But at the same time, he has so much knowledge, so much information. He's one of those guys that's kind of like Knox. You know, when he's talking, I really pay attention and listen, because I know I'm going to come away with more information than I went into the conversation with. So I hope you guys enjoyed that episode with Brian. Such a great guy. And don't forget, wherever you're listening to us, make sure you subscribe, hit the notification so you get the alerts when the new episodes drop, and leave us some positive reviews wherever you listen to us. I appreciate it. You guys have a great week, and we'll see you next week sometime. Thank you.